The brothers walked to the sheriff's office, stoked up the stove, made a fresh pot of coffee, and sat down. Linwood arrived in short order.
Something awful funny about this.
Yeah. The boys said they thought they'd killed him. I think they left him alive deliberately.
That's my thinking, too. I'd bet my last dollar that Pete Harris had nothing to do with this.
So would we. Those Knight Riders left that lad alive, so he would tell just what he told us. The Box H brand on those horses is too obvious.
Right. Hellfire, boys. Raynor and Vernon could hide a whole army on their spreads, much less a dozen or so horses, and nobody could find them.
If it was Raynor and Vernon.
Sam and Jack looked at him.
What do you mean, brother?
Something's not adding up. I don't know what. It's just something that's roaming around in my head and I can't pin it down. Look, we've got people switching sides here like a cook flipping flapjacks. First Dale hates me and Sam's guts, then he welcomes us with open arms. First Dale is on the side of the big three ranchers, and then he throws them out of town. Chrisman has hated Dale for 10 or 12 years, now he's in cahoots with them. The rumor gets spread that the Raley gang is in this area, hired by Vernon and Raynor. It was probably the Raley gang that killed that family last night, but that don't necessarily mean they were hired by Hugo and Blake. And D&R don't have to mean Dale and Raynor, but it could. Dale could have ordered Raynor out of town to make it look like there was a big split between them.
Oh, this is making my head hurt.
The men talked and waited for Charlie and Jimmy to return. But they all knew they were no closer to solving the puzzle. Jimmy returned from the Reed farm.
What's the word, Jimmy?
Well, the Reed family was all very helpful and polite. They all had Springfield rifles and produced them without any problems. The men all wore flat-heeled boots or shoes. The sniper wore high-heeled cowboy boots. I honestly don't think they were involved.
I'm gonna have to agree with you.
Charlie rode in about a half an hour behind Jimmy.
That damn Hugo Raynor's a smart-mouth, arrogant son. I'll say that first off. And if he crowds me, I'll put lead in him. But I'll add this. I don't think he or his bunch had anything to do with that sniper. It's just a hunch. Both him and that Blake Vernon was coffeeing on the porch when I got there. They stayed together whilst I talked with them. A puncher came fogging in with the news about that farm family being slaughtered. I don't think they had anything to do with that either. They was both stunned over the news, and they wasn't play-acting. And both of them said the same thing about Pete Harris. He didn't do it.
How about a Springfield rifle?
Nah. The men said they'd owned Springfields before, but that they don't no more. I don't like either one of them men, but I believed them.
All that's left is to talk with Pete Harris.
Pete, his son, and Shorty, the foreman, rode into town and reined up in front of the office. Pete stepped into the office, his face flushed.
Now, boys, I got the news about that farm family and come straight into town. It's a terrible thing that's happened. The word I got is that the boy is blaming me. But I didn't have nothing to do with that. Nothing, I tell you.
Relax, Pete. We don't think you had anything to do with it. Have some coffee and sit down.
Now, I'll pay for that boy's medical care and upbringing. I'll do anything I can do to help the boy.
Charlie got up and put his arm around the man's shoulders.
Oh, take it easy, Pete. Just calm down. Anybody who knows you wouldn't do something like was done to that family. There ain't nobody, including Blake and Hugo, who thinks you had anything to do with it.
But somebody did it! Somebody riding horses with the Box H brand! Somebody destroyed that little boy's life and besmirched my good name! I better not find nobody riding a Box H horse without sales papers! If I do, there's gonna be a killing. I'll warn you all of that right now.
Pete, where you going, man?
To see about that little boy.
Somebody wants to throw blame onto Pete and get any suspicions off of them. But we don't have any real suspects. Now, if it isn't Raynor or Blake, who is it?
But nobody had an answer. The Knight Riders struck again that night. A group of about 25 men riding Lightning Arrow brand horses hit a sheepman and his herd, killing two shepherds and their dogs, and ran most of the sheep off a cliff, killing them. A third shepherd dragged himself to his horse and made it to a farmer's house. The farmer put the Basque into a wagon and brought him into town. He lived long enough to tell his story, and no longer. Jack Linwood, Charlie Starr, and Jimmy Bryant looked at each other and walked out of the doctor's office. Matt and Sam were just stepping up onto the boardwalk.
You two are now officially deputized. Come to the office and get swore in and badged, and I don't want to hear no argument about it.
15 minutes later, with badges pinned to their shirts, Matt and Sam stood shoulder to shoulder with Charlie and Jimmy.
Jimmy, you and Sam stay close to town. Charlie, Matt, and me will ride out to the killing site and start tracking. 3 days provisions, boys. Get supplied at Simmons and charge it to the county. Get plenty of ammo. Let's go.
First it was Box H, now it's Lightning. If the next one isn't Circle V...
Yeah, I've been thinking on that too. And I'll bet it won't be. But I'll also bet that Blake is innocent.
But the farmers and sheepmen won't.
Right. Whoever's doing this is smart. They've given this a lot of thought. But why are they doing it? Who in the hell has what to gain by doing it? That's what's got me stumped.
Jack, has a mother lode been found in this county yet?
No, lots of small strikes. Been a lot of gold taken out. But it's been a lot of smaller strikes. Why?
Just curious.
You think gold might be the reason behind these attacks?
Something is. Has any gold been found on any of the big three ranches?
Not that I know of. But gold is the one thing I haven't thought of. Maybe you're right. Maybe somebody's trying to stir up trouble so's the big three will have at each other's throats. It's sure something to ponder on. But who is it?
R&D.
Yeah, whoever that might be.
They reached the scene of the murders. It was terrible, and the stench of dead sheep didn't help any. Charlie knelt down by one of the sheepdogs.
Hell of a price to pay for being hardworking and loyal. It'd take a sorry goddamn son of a bitch to do this. Man that'll do this don't deserve nothing but a rope or a bullet.
The men dug holes and buried the sheepmen and their dogs side by side, the men figuring that's the way the sheepmen would have wanted it. Charlie got a tattered Bible from his saddlebags and read a few words.
Lord, look over these unfortunate souls. They meant no harm to nobody, but they sure came across it all the same. Grant us the power to give these poor men some justice and bring in the men who had done it.
Jack settled his hat on his head and hitched at his double-rig gun belt.
Let's ride.
The tracks were easy to follow, unlike those of the raiders who had attacked the farm, which had petered out after a few miles. But these were easy to read, and they led right toward the Circle V range.
You know what they're gonna do? They're gonna get with a herd and push them along, then one by one leave out.
Sure. As long as we trail them to Circle V range, they're thinking that's all it'll take to stir things up. Maybe they're right. We got to put out this fuse, boys, and we gotta do it right quick.
I figure just one more farmer gets killed, the farmers are gonna band together and start some night riding of their own. I've seen it happen before. You crowd them hard enough, and they'll shove back.
They spotted two punchers riding toward them just as they crossed the creek that signaled the east boundaries of the Circle V range.
That's Mac and Jody, coming from the west, probably wondering what happened to the herd that was grazing here.
What do you boys want?
Jody's eyes riveted on Bodine and on the badge he wore on his shirt.
Some sheepman was killed last night. Their sheep stampeded over a cliff and their dogs shot. One lived long enough to tell me the raiders was on Circle V horses. We trailed them here.
Now that just breaks my heart about them stinking sheepmen and their fucking sheep and their goddamn dogs. But we didn't have nothing to do with it. Kind of old to be toting a badge, ain't you, Dad?
That's what LeBar thought, too.
Huh? What about LeBar?
He's dead.
Who killed him?
I did.
Jody's hand dropped to the butt of his gun.
I don't believe that. You're a liar.
What he is Charlie Starr.
The color drained out of Jody's face. Very slowly, he removed his hand from the butt of his gun.
Pleasure to meet you, Mr. Starr.
That ain't for me. I just ain't got no use for smart-mouthed, pushy people.
You got no call to talk to me like that.
I just helped bury two good men and their hard-working dogs. And I don't like you, and probably never will. If you get mouthy with me again, there ain't gonna be time for me to make up my mind one way or the other. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Fine.
We don't think you boys had anything to do with killing them sheepmen.
I swear to you, Jack, no Circle V hand had anything to do with no raid last night, nor that other raid that killed them farmers. I'll swear on a Bible and on my mother's picture.
That's good enough for me, Mac. Let's ride single file. You two on the west side of these cow tracks. See if we can't pick up where those raiders broke loose.
They had gone only a short distance before Mac called out.
Here's where one cut loose, but it took about a dozen steers with him.
Here's another. Same story.
Here's a piece of sacking. They tied sacks around their horses' hooves. Or they were going to when they left them beeves there trailing.
The men reined up. They knew there was no point in continuing their hunt. The raiders would leave the cows at some point where nothing could be found. And after so long a time, any grass that was bent down would be springing back up.
Thanks for your help, boys. And don't be doing no traveling at night. These farmers and sheepmen are getting edgy. Just might blow you out of the saddle.
Matt lingered, facing the two punchers.
Why don't we all work to bring peace to this area, boys?
Why don't you and your damned half-breed Injun brother both go to hell, Bodine?
Well, it's been real nice talking to you, boys.
Matt turned his horse. He caught up with Jack and Charlie.
I'll have to deal with him someday.
The raiders struck again that night at two locations, killing all but one of a farm family, burning down house and barn, and killing all the livestock, and killing three sheepmen, stampeding their flocks and destroying the dogs. The night riders rode horses with the Box H and Circle V brands.
That's their plan. We were right. The only brand that isn't obvious is Hugo Rayner's Lightning Arrow.
So the other ranchers will turn on Rayner. And the farmers, the sheepmen, and the townspeople.
That's the way I see it.
Damnedest thing I ever heard of, but I see the logic behind it.
We're looking at a war here, and we better be darn careful to stay neutral.
You got that right, son. Who's that coming in?
The lawmen moved to the boardwalk and watched as Hugo Rayner and a number of his hands rode slowly into town. The men were all heavily armed and grim-faced. Three of the hands rode belly down over their saddles, tied in place. Others had bloody bandages on arms and face and legs. The riders reined up in front of the four lawmen.
Damn nesters and sheepmen hit me early this morning, Linwood. A snake attack on my ranch. You see what happened? I didn't bury my boys right off because I wanted you to see for yourself. I ain't had nothing to do with these night riding incidents up to now.
How do you know it was farmers and sheepmen who attacked you? You get any of them?
No. But who the hell else could it have been? They was riding mules and plugs and nags. That pretty well tells it, don't it?
Not necessarily. Someone's trying to start a war here, Hugo, and we don't believe it's you or Blake or Pete that's behind it. I'll tell you the same thing I told the others. Just calm down and let us handle it. We'll get to the bottom of this.
The hell you say, Linwood. You people couldn't catch a cold. We'll take care of it our way.
You'll go to jail if we catch you night riding, Carl Rayner, and that includes any rancher or punchers in this county.
A cowboy came fogging up the street from the east. He reined up in a cloud of dust.
Sheep! Thousands of them! They're about 10 miles outside of town. They come in by train to Track's End and are being herded over here. I never seen so goddamn many sheep in all my days.
Damn!
Yeah.
A lone man came riding in on a beautiful, high-stepping midnight black with stocking feet. The man was dressed in expensive and tailored clothing, his boots highly polished and costing more than the average cowhand made in 6 months. The man wore two hand-tooled and engraved 45s.
You find something funny about this, Star?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Big Shot Rancher. I sure do. He told me just a few months back that he was going into business in this part of the state.
Who told you?
Watch your mouth, boy, before I take a notion to slap it off your face.
You know that dude-it-up fella?
Sure do.
Charlie turned to walk up the boardwalk toward the stranger, stepping down from the saddle in front of Simmons General Store.
Well, who is he?
That, boys, is one of the richest men in the United States, one of the best gamblers in the world, and one of the fastest guns. He owns railroads, factories, huge cattle ranches, and no telling what else. That, boys, is Lewis Longmont.
And the sheep coming in belong to him.
Lord have mercy on us all if anyone messes with his sheep.
He don't look like much to me.
Boy, you shut your damn mouth and get the hell back to the ranch.
A fight was brewing at the Box H Ranch, and the Lightning Arrow boys had brought it.
Get off this range! You boys is causing all this grief to folks, so just get off this range!
We got strays over here.
and we aim to get them and push them back on Rainer's ground. And you can go right straight to hell, cowboy.
You're the one who's going to hell, Slick.
Both men got iron out and both men fired, wounding each other, although not seriously. Both took their stories back to home range, each one saying the other drew first.
Let's go get them boys.
At the Circle V ranch, Vernon's son, Hubby, slobbered on his shirt, his eyes shining. Hubby'd killed a lot of people in his life, although no one knew about it except his father and his brother, Lane, and they covered it up. So Hubby felt like he had a license to kill. Hubby wasn't nearly as goofy as he liked people to think, but he had learned early on that the goofier he acted, the less work he had to do around the ranch, and the more mischief he could get into without fear of punishment. As a child, that mischief was the tormenting of animals. As he grew older, it turned into the killing of drifting cowboys and the burning down of houses, especially when someone was in them, sleeping. Hubby could read and write and figure. Hubby could think and reason. Hubby was a cold-blooded killer who knew exactly what he was doing and enjoyed every moment of it.
I'll think on it, son. As a matter of fact, it's my notion that Pete Harris is behind this whole damn night-riding business, trying to get me and Hugo at each other's throats. Lane, how's Harry?
He's fine. It was just a nick.
Get some of the boys together. We're riding over to see Pete.
But before they could get saddled up, a hand came busting up, fresh from talking to a Circle V supporter from town.
Boss, there's about 10,000 sheep just a few miles outside of town, coming in from Track's End. Well, that's just half the story, boss. The sheep is owned by Lewis Longmont, and he's in town.
Lewis Longmont?
Right, boss. Himself in person.
Blake leaned against a corral post. It was beginning to come together now.
Rocky, saddle my horse. Couple of you boys come with me. I've got to palaver some with Hugo. Rest of you boys break out the ammo from the house. Clean up your guns and fill any empty loops in your belts.
We riding tonight, boss?
Probably, Frisco. But it'll be late. So get some rest. Come on, Kirk, Rich, let's ride.
They didn't get 2 miles from the house before the long-distance shooter with the Springfield knocked Blake off his horse. If Blake had not turned his head at the last possible second, the big slug would have blown his brains out. As it was, Blake had a graze on his noggin and a whale of a headache.
Get him!
Kirk and Rich didn't get him, but they got close enough to recognize the horse and the vest on the man. They rode back to their boss.
It was Coop! We both recognized his horse and that fancy vest of his. No doubt about it.
Kirk, ride for the Lightning. Tell Hugo about this and tell him I had it figured it was Pete. Tell him to get his boys together and ride for my spread. We hit Pete tonight.
I'm going, boss.
Pete had moved his herds to a more protected area, an area where 2 or 3 good punchers could contain them for a week or more. Pete stood on his front porch and stared out over that part of his holdings that he could see. He had a funny feeling in his guts. Last time he'd had this feeling, his place had been hit, and hit hard, by Utes. Millie came to his side.
What's wrong, Dad?
I don't know. I just got a bad feeling is all. Where's your brother?
He's been gone all day. Said he had to check over in Devil's Canyon for strays.
Girl, go fetch Shorty for me. Now move, girl, hurry.
She ran toward the foreman's quarters. Shorty came running.
What's up, boss?
Shorty, you've been with me a long time. You remember the last time them Utes came at us?
I sure do.
I had this same feeling that afternoon, Shorty. You get the hands gathered. Millie, you and your mob break out the rifles and load them up. Get all the ammo from the chest and get ready to pass it out to the boys. Then you and your ma get to making sandwiches, a lot of them, and coffee.
Right, Dad.
The hands were quickly gathered before the porch.
I'm hoping I'm wrong, boys. But I got a gut feeling there's trouble on the wind. We've done this before, so you all know where you're supposed to be. Get ammo and sandwiches from inside the house and get into position. Put the horses in the barn and cut the others loose. We can round them up in the morning.
Boss, there ain't been no sign of hostiles around here.
Oh, I think we've been surrounded by them for a long time and just didn't know it. Now get some food and water and get into position.
Matt and Sam stepped out of their shack on the edge of town and looked up at the deserted main street. Not one horse was tied to a hitch rail. The afternoon stage had come and gone. No one got off, No one got on.
I don't like it. There's always some hand from the Box H in town, having a drink or buying some tobacco or just hanging around talking. Something's wrong. Brother, what we talked about this morning, were you serious?
It has to be considered.
It would be a terrible thing. Matt, you have no proof.
I know. It's just something that I'm going to check on. For now, let's keep it between us.
And tomorrow we do a little snooping.
Tomorrow we do a lot of snooping.
You talked last with Lewis Longmont. What's his position in all this?
He says he won't get involved unless his camp or his sheep are attacked.
Did you take a good look at that bodyguard of his when he drove the wagon in for supplies?
Yeah. I'd hate for him to hit me. I think that's one of the biggest men I've ever seen.
Dusk was settling over the land. The brothers walked up to the sheriff's office. Simmons had closed his store. The Red Dog and the Plowshare were open but had no customers. Impending trouble seemed to hang thick in the air. The brothers stepped into the sheriff's office and took in the grim looks on the faces of Linwood, Charlie, and Jimmy.
I take it that we are not alone in our feeling that something is terribly wrong.
I ain't usually wrong in my hunches, and I got a bad feeling about this night.
A lone horseman came riding slowly into town. The men in the sheriff's office watched him dismount at the Red Dog.
That's Grove from the Lightning Spread, and he's riding with his saddlebags full and a bedroll tied on. Come on, let's find out what's going on. Grove, what are you doing here all packed to scat?
I quit Rainer. That's what's going on. That damn sniper tried to kill Blake Vernon today, grazed his head. He says it was Coop from Pete's place. I don't believe that. Coop's the worst shot I ever seen. And I've known Coop for 10 years. He ain't got no damn Springfield long rifle.
You're not riding for the brand anymore, Grove. What's up for tonight?
They gonna hit the Box H tonight. Blake and Rainer's convinced Pete and his hands is behind all this night riding.
And you?
I don't believe it. Pete's always been the peacemaker. But I'll tell you who's been acting queer late, and if it's repeated, it didn't come from me. That damn Dewey Vernon's doing a lot of lonesome riding. I've been seeing him from the north end of Devil's Canyon clear up toward the South Fork. Something's going on that he don't want his pa to know about.
The lawmen exchanged glances. That could be the D, but who is the R?
I got me a job offer working on a spread down on the Gunnison. I'm having me a drink and pulling out. Good luck to you, boys.
Let's ride, boys. We might get there in time to head this off, but I doubt it.
The Circle V and Lightning Men hit the Box H Ranch an hour after dark. Almost 60 hands struck the ranch hard, coming at the defenders from all sides. Pete had had plenty of time to station his men. When the call came that riders were coming hard, Pete's men lit torches that had been positioned around the yard and then ran back to cover. The first volley from the Box H hands emptied 5 saddles. 3 of those who hit the ground did not move. Coop was on the front porch of the ranch house with Pete. Robert had returned and was stationed at the back of the house. Coop was using a shotgun and was taking a dreadful toll on the raiders. Becky and Millie were frontier women. They both had rifles and knew how to use them. They stood their positions and calmly picked their targets amid the wind-whipped torchlight and the swirling dust. The ranch defenders broke the initial attack, sending the night riders back out of rifle range. The Circle V and Lightning crews left 5 dead on the grounds of the Box H and several more wounded. They were gearing up for another charge when Sheriff Jack Linwood and his deputies rode up.
That's it! This is the law talking! The first man on either side to fire another shot gets arrested for attempted murder of a peace officer. And by God, I'll see that man put in prison for the rest of his life!
Them stinking skunks in the ranch house tried to kill me today. Pete sent Coop to bushwhack me.
You're a damn liar, Blake! And if I was gonna send somebody, it sure as hell wouldn't be Coop.
He's right about that, boss. I forgot that Coop couldn't hit a barn if he was standing inside it.
You wanna file charges, Pete?
No! Just get these polecats off my range and order them to stay off. Now and forever.
We got wounded and dead.
Then drag them out here and get gone, goddamn you.
Back your men off. I wanna hear them ride out. Blake and Rainer, you and your foreman and a couple of hands stay and gather up your wounded and dead. Everybody lay down your rifles and shove iron back into leather. Now do it!
The Circle V and Lightning hands backed off and rode out. Linwood and his men rode in. Rainer and Blake and their sons and their foreman came in and began gathering up horses and loading the dead and wounded. The Box H hands held their positions and waited.
It ain't over. All you done this night, Linwood, was put the showdown off for another day.
I ain't got nothing to gain by making war on you or nobody else, you damn fool. Now think about that on the ride back home.
You want it all. We know all about you sending for Bodine and two wolves. We know you sent for Longmont and them damn stinking sheep.
You're crazy!
Where'd you hear that crap?
Are you calling me a liar, Bodine?
No, I'm not. What I am saying is that whoever told you that Pete sent for me and Sam doesn't know what in the hell they're talking about. And Lewis Longmont can't be bought. He's already a millionaire 10 times over.
Now think about this. If neither of you are behind the Night Riders and Pete isn't, who is and why?
Sam looked at Dewey, standing beside his father.
And you, Dewey, why have you been doing so much lonesome riding?
What? What do you mean? What are you accusing my boy of here, anyway?
I'm not accusing him of anything, but he's been spotted more than once, ranging miles from his home base, and at some unusual hours, too.
Out on the Box H range, Blake stepped down from the saddle to confront Dewey.
That true, boy?
The young man shuffled his boots in the dirt and refused to answer.
I asked you a question, boy.
Yeah. I've been doing some riding, Pa. I got me a girl.
A girl? Well, why in tarnation don't you bring her to the house so everybody can meet her?
'Cause damn it, she's a Nestor's daughter. And I love her, Pa. We're gonna be married.
You took up with Nestor, trash?
She ain't trash, Pa. And don't you call her that. I'm warning you. Don't do it.
You're warning me?
That's right, Pa.
Blake hit Dewey, then jerked his son's gun from leather and shoved it behind his belt.
My son don't consort with no damn Nestor's whore.
Dewey hooked one boot around his father's ankle and brought the man down.
Maggie ain't no whore!
Hubby stepped in to intercede, and Lane pulled him back.
Let him fight it out, Hubby. They gotta settle it sometime.
Father and son stood toe-to-toe for a moment, slugging it out, both of them taking some hard licks. Blake scored a good one, and his son's butt hit the ground. Father tried to kick son, and Dewey grabbed his boot and twisted, throwing the man to the ground. He jumped on top of him and laid left and right to his dad's jaw. Frisco stepped in and pulled the young man off.
He's out, boy. He's had it. Now lay off.
Lane and Hubby pulled their nearly unconscious dad to his feet and held him there. Pete brought a basin of water and a cloth from the kitchen.
Here, Blake.
Hell with you. I don't need your damn sympathy.
I'm not offering any sympathy. I'm just trying to help a man who used to be my friend.
You're no friend of mine, Pete. All right, so you didn't order that shot at me. But you still side with the Nestors and the Sheepmen. And that makes you my enemy.
And mine.
Blake turned to Dewey.
I'll have all your gear packed. I don't want you on my range. Not as long as you see that Nestor. Girl. Now where do you want your crap sent?
Well, why don't you send it into town? You're gonna need a job, Dewey. You ever thought about deputy sheriffing?
You offering me a job, Sheriff?
Sure am. And I'll let you have time off to see your girl.
You just hired yourself a deputy.
Blake staggered off toward his horse. The dead and wounded were collected, and the men rode off.
Mother, would you please draw another basin of water and get some cloth so we can patch up Dewey here? Billy, pour us all some coffee and lay out them sandwiches.
Matt and Sam kept their badges, but with the addition of Dewey Vernon, their services would not be needed as often for official business. Charlie started working with both Jimmy and Dewey, showing them the tricks of the gun handling business. Both young men proved to be quick learners. Blake Vernon sent his son's belongings into town in a wagon, the young man's three horses tied to the back of the wagon. The hand refused to lift a finger to help unload the gear. Linwood, Charlie, and Dewey unloaded the wagon.
Your pa said to tell you this, Dewey. Your name's been taken out of the family Bible. You ain't his son no more. Don't never set foot on Circle V range.
Jack Linwood pointed a finger at the man.
You take a message back to Blake from me. This man, Dewey Vernon, is a deputy sheriff of this county. Anytime we have official business to take care of, he goes where he damn well pleases, and that includes Circle V range. Blake or any of you interferes, I'll have warrants swore out on you and put your butts in jail. Or kill you. Can you remember all that?
Sure can, Jack. I'll give him your message.
Matt and Sam had walked up to stand listening.
What are you boys planning for the rest of this day?
Prowl around. We've got 3 days' rations and are just getting ready to head out. Anybody seen Lewis Longmont?
Not hiding her hair. He's staying out at that fancy camp of his.
Since it turns out that Dewey here ain't the D we thought he was, do either of you boys have any idea who we're looking for?
Matt and Sam shook their heads.
I thought I did, but it turned out wrong. I'm stumped.
Matt did have some ideas, but they were so fuzzy in his mind he had told only Sam. He hoped to brush away some of that fuzziness on this trip, provided he and Sam didn't get shot while attempting it. The two men saddled up.
You boys take care, and pin them badges on your shirts for some added protection.
When the sunlight hits them, they'll also make good targets.
For a fact. For a fact.
The brothers rode out of town, conscious of both friendly and unfriendly eyes on them as they left. But since the brutal night riding had begun, those unfriendly eyes had lost support. Men fighting men was one thing, but when men started killing women and kids, most people, no matter how strongly they felt about sheep or nesters, drew the line and backed off. It wasn't long before they were out of town and alone on the road.
Where do we start?
What do you think about my idea?
I think it's as good as any. It's far-fetched, but the only way we'll know for sure is to check it out.
They rode for several miles, coming to a halt at a crossroads west of town. Matt stuck out his hand and Sam took it.
Be careful, Sam.
The same to you, brother.
Matt headed for Lightning Range. Sam headed for a spot he'd picked out on Box H Range. Both men rode cautiously, staying off the road and keeping to the timber whenever possible. They reached their pre-picked spots, stripped saddle and bridle from their horses, and with field glasses ready, began the long wait. The hours wore on slowly for the brothers. Through field glasses, they watched hands at work, rounding up cattle and moving them to different pastures. They ate hardtack and canned beans and watched and waited. They went to bed late and got up early, so they would not miss any sound or fail to spot any movement. But nothing suspicious came into view. Matt was beginning to wonder if he'd made a mistake. Truthfully, both men hoped Matt's theory was wrong. On the second night out, both men heard gunfire coming from the south. Men riding hard and wearing long dusters came within 100 yards of Sam's location about an hour after the shooting. The night riders had struck again. They rode straight north, staying between the Box H and the Lightning Ranches. Sam was not familiar with this area, but he'd been told by Jack Linwood that a heavily timbered area lay just north of his location, an area that could hide a small army for a long time, if they were careful. Mid-morning of the third day, a lone rider rode east across Box H land. Sam watched the rider through long lenses and smiled bitterly. At the same time, Matt was watching a lone rider lope across Lightning Range. Both men quickly saddled their horses and broke camp, following their quarry. The brothers stayed well back and stopped often, being very careful not to alert those they followed. The two riders disappeared into the timber that grew on each side of a creek. Matt and Sam circled the meeting place and joined up on a ridge above the creek.
Good enough for you?
Unfortunately. I hate this.
No more than I do.
Matt and Sam uncased their field glasses and the brothers settled in, well concealed and high above the secret meeting place of the mysterious R and D. The brothers watched the timber, occasionally catching a glimpse of the pair. Finally, it got embarrassing, and the brothers put their binoculars aside and were content to just wait the pair out. After an hour had passed, two men rode in from the north. The brothers picked up their binoculars and studied the pair.
Red Rayleigh. I don't know the guy with him.
Now we know who brought in the Rayleigh gang. But are they in it alone?
Matt laid his field glasses aside and stretched out on the cool grass, a very serious expression on his face.
Sam, I think we have two factions working here. I don't think one knows about the other.
I like it. It's disgusting, but it works. A power play on one side, and deception on the other.
Now that we know this much, we can't just sit on it.
True.
But I really don't want to be the one who delivers the message. To either side.
Let's get out of here.
Jack's boots left the desktop and hit the office floor.
Are you serious?
We both saw it.
But Dewey was the least surprised of them all.
Everybody thinks he's such a nice fella. He never fooled me. He always had a sneaky way about him. That's why we weren't friends. And as far as she's concerned, hell, she's a trollop through and through. So was her mother.
Was?
Oh, yeah. She ran off with the foreman years ago. No one knows where she is. Those two don't surprise me. But what are Dale and Chris been up to?
We don't know.
That's just a guess on my part.
Who can we trust?
We can trust ourselves. But who tells Pete Harris about his son and Hugo Raynor about his daughter?
Man, don't look at me. Pete's an easygoing fella, but news of this?
If Red's gang is camped very far north of where you boys were today, that puts it in another county and out of my jurisdiction. And the sheriff up there is a damn crook. But we got to do something about that outlaw camp. We can't have no more night riding. Last night they hit a farmer who was waiting for him. Him and his two sons killed three and got lead and four others. That might put a damper on it for a time.
Jimmy had gotten up for more coffee and was looking out the window.
Oh, Lord.
What's the matter?
Look yonder. Here comes Pete Harris and some of his hands.
Is Robert with them?
No.
Imagine he's resting. He and Denise had quite a to-do today.
Pete's heading this way, and he's walking like a man with something on his mind.
Jimmy left the window and headed for the back.
I just remembered something I forgot to do.
He was gone out the back door, Dewey Vernon right behind him. Sam leaned against the wall, Matt sat in a chair, Charlie leaned against a cell door, and Jack sat down behind his desk. Pete stepped in and closed the door behind him. He looked at Matt, then at Sam.
Where you boys been? Millie's about to wear out the front porch waiting on you two to show up.
We've been up in the timber for 3 days, along the ridges. Waiting for your son to disprove a theory of mine.
I see. And did he disprove your theory?
Harris walked to the coffee pot, pouring a cup.
No, Pete. He didn't.
Let me guess. He met with Denise Raynor, didn't he?
Yes, he did, Pete. Among others.
I wish he had come to me. I wouldn't have disapproved of them sparking each other. What'd you say, Matt? Among others. What others?
I didn't know one of the men. But the other one was Red Raley.
Red Raley? The outlaw gang leader?
Yeah. Sorry, Pete. There was no mistaking it. Sam was there. He saw it same as me.
Damn! I knew something was wrong. I started to tell you when you were out at the ranch one time. Just couldn't bring myself to do it. Something turned the boy wrong. I don't know what it was. It wasn't Denise, although I'm sure she didn't help matters any. His mother hasn't noticed the change. Neither has Millie. At least I don't think so. Red Raley? You think my boy brought him in, Matt? Sam? Where would he get the money?
I don't know, Pete. To both your questions. I'll guess and say no, he didn't. Like you, I don't know where he'd get the money. How about Denise?
Oh, she has money of her own. Her mother saw to that before she run off with another man.
Enough to buy Raley and his gang?
No, but enough to pay a sniper.
Glad that Pete had not blown sky high, Jack relaxed some.
So how did Robert meet up with Raley then?
Through Crispin and Dale.
How'd you arrive at that, Matt?
Well, it's just a theory. But who else has the money to hire a whole gang but Dale or Crispin? A lot of folks say Dale has nothing to gain, but that might not be the case. How heavily in debt are Vernon and Raynor to the bank?
Yeah, that would do it. He's loaned them both a lot of money. They managed to stay even with him. No, that ain't it, boys. It's something else. Back when Hugo and me was at least speaking, he told me that Dale used to come out to his place all the time and just ride all over the place, always by himself. Never wanted anybody to go with him. Said Dale told him it was the prettiest place he'd ever laid eyes on. He'd even camp out in the hills. Said it was his vacation.
How about Vernon's place south of here?
No, Dale never spent much time down there. Practically none at all. But say, back before the sheep came in and split this area up into factions, Chrisman used to prowl all over Vernon's place. Blake finally had to run him off.
Both those men, Dale and Chrisman, are strange men.
Matt met Sam's eyes.
You take it, brother.
They're not too strange. Chrisman's found silver on the Circle V, and Dale's found gold on a Lightning Range. Bet on it.
So the two men, Chrisman and Dale, working together, concocted this plan to create a range war. Then the sheep came in a few months back, and that just made things better for them. But what part do Robert and Denise play in all this?
They found out and wanted in.
Well, sure. That fits. I'll buy that. Even though it hurts to say it about my own flesh and blood, Robert and Denise hired that long-distance shooter to kill me, then came up with a better plan. Use him to create fear in everybody, and maybe we'd all kill each other.
You don't know that, Pete. Don't torment yourself before you know all the facts.
It fits too well. Robert's always been a good boy, but even as a child, he was sneaky. He always had a ready grin and a joke, and would go out of his way to help people. But then afterward, he never let him forget it. He liked people to owe him. I don't know what to do. I can't trust Robert, even with just suspicions. I can't afford to trust him. If my son wants me dead, how can I sleep under the same roof with him?
Pete leaned back and propped his boots up on the table. Matt tensed. On the right sole of Pete's boot, there was a V-shaped cut, just like the sign left by the sniper in the rocks. Later that afternoon, after Pete had gone on his way, Sheriff Linwood and his deputies discussed their options.
It doesn't make sense.
Nothing about this makes any sense. But I seen the cut on Pete's boot, and it's a match with the boots the sniper was wearing.
It's enough to arrest him on, but I don't know if it's enough for a conviction. Nobody around here would convict him. He's too well liked.
Could he be in on it with his son and the Rainer girl? Is that possible?
Hell, Matt, the whole town might be in on this thing for all I know. I feel like I'm being pulled in 15 different directions.
A boy stuck his head into the office.
Here comes a sheep! Thousands of them!
The handlers did not push the sheep through town, but instead skirted it on the north side. Still, it was more sheep than anyone in town had ever seen. Louis Longmont rode in, accompanied by his bodyguard, Mike. They stood on the boardwalk in front of the sheriff's office while the sheep were being moved to the newly leased range on the Box H.
Will you be staying in the area long, Mr. Longmont?
Long enough to see that my investment is properly cared for, one way or the other.
There was a very thinly veiled threat there, and Jack Linwood knew it.
I trust that I will not have to pull in some associates of mine to protect my investment.
I sure hope not.
The men paused to watch Victoria drive by in a buggy, a picnic basket on the seat beside her. She waved and smiled at the men.
Pretty girl.
She draws. Real good at it. She's going just outside of town to that creek that runs into the Colorado. She'll spend all day there, drawing pictures of trees and birds and the like. Them's her drawings on the walls of the cafe.
Jack walked to his horse, buckling the straps on a saddlebag. Sam looked down at the dirt. Each time Jack's right boot hit the earth, a V-shaped mark appeared.
Now wait just a damn minute. What's going on here?
What do you mean?
Sam pointed to the ground. The men stared at the damning mark in the dirt. But it was Dewey who found the real culprit. He sat down on the edge of the boardwalk and got up a lot faster.
Ow!
Matt knelt down and ran his hand over the boards. Two headless nails had been exposed as the boards had worn down over the years of foot traffic, one just behind the other. He put his boot over the nails and turned, feeling the drag as the nails cut into the sole. He sat down and pulled off his boot, holding it up for all to see. A V had been gouged into the sole.
Well, I'll be darned. And look where it is. Anybody stepping up from tying their horse at that rail would step right on the nails.
That means that half the people in town might have those cuts on their boots.
The sheriff took off his hat and scratched his head. Matt noticed the man was graying.
We're right back where we started. A right-handed man with a cut on his sole and toting a Springfield rifle.
Louis Longmont's fancy wagons came rolling through town, and Louis and Mike got back into the saddle and followed them toward their new campsite.
I pity anybody who tries to attack that bunch of sheep.
Charlie smiled.
Dewey? Lewis told me not too long ago that some ranchers up north of here tried to squeeze him out a couple of years ago. He just bought up all the land that surrounded their ranches, dammed up all the creeks, fenced off the river, and blew down part of a mountain, blocking the only road for 2-3 miles. He sealed them in. Didn't take him long to come calling, hat in hand. Said he settled that situation without firing a shot.
I wish this one could be. But right about now, Pete's got his son by the throat. Hugo's yelling at his daughter. Blake's probably getting drunk. Red Rayleigh is planning more night raids. That damn sniper is laying in wait to kill somebody. And Dale and Chrisman is plotting and scheming against everybody else. I wonder what else is going to happen.
In the middle of the afternoon, a farmer came rattling his wagon into town, galloping his team. He came to a stop in front of the sheriff's office.
That Mexican girl's laying out yonder by the creek. She's unconscious, ain't got a stitch on. I throw my coat over her and come into town as fast as my old team could pull.
Dewey, run fetch the doc. Jimmy, go get Matt and Sam. Charlie, go get the girl's father while I beat it out to the creek. Move, boys!
Dr. Lemon was only seconds behind Jack, covered Victoria with a blanket, and used salts to bring her to consciousness. She had been beaten very badly, her face swollen and one eye closed. There was blood on her mouth. The inside of her thighs were bruised.
Raped?
Yes, I'm afraid so. Who did this, Victoria?
Lightning encircled V-Riders. The cowboys called Burr and Dixon and Rusty and Tulsa. Ned from Lightning. I don't know the name of the other one.
Matt and Sam galloped up. The brothers listened to Jack relate what Victoria had said. Jack grabbed Sam by the arm.
We do this by the book, son. No losing control. You hear me?
I hear you. But you know that those men will just alibi for each other. Nothing will be done. No one will be arrested. No one will stand trial. She's Mexican. I've seen what happened to men who raped and even killed Indian women. Nothing.
That won't be the case here, Sam.
Sure won't. Book justice doesn't always equal what's right, but this does.
Sheriff Linwood told Matt and Sam to stay in town and to keep the hell away from Lightning and Circle V Range. If they didn't, he promised he'd put them both in jail, and their reputations as fast guns be damned, he'd still get lead in them both. The brothers believed him. They returned to the sheriff's office and stayed with Dewey, drinking coffee and talking. Finally, Sam stalked out of the office.
Where are you going?
To check on Victoria.
Juan and Anita were sitting in the doctor's small waiting room. Anita's eyes were red and puffy from crying, and Juan's face was stony hard, dark and terrible Spanish vengeance plain in his black eyes.
They will be brought to justice, Juan.
Sí. One way or the other.
Have you spoken with the doctor?
Sí. Her physical wounds are not serious. But mentally, those are terrible men to do something like this. I never dreamed I was capable of so much hate.
Cold hate is better, Juan. You can't think with hot hate.
Yes, I know. You perhaps have some Spanish blood in you as well, Sam.
My Cheyenne blood boils just the same as yours.
Dr. Lemon stepped into the room.
She's sleeping now. I sedated her very heavily. She should sleep for hours. There's no need for any of you to stay. The ladies from the church are going to take turns staying with her during the night.
Come on, I'll walk you back to the cafe.
The cafe will be closed for this night, but the cantina will be open.
They passed people on their way, all stopped to express their horror at what had been done and to wish Victoria well. The outpouring of sympathy seemed to make the father and mother feel better, just knowing the majority of the townspeople were with them in their grief. Matt joined Sam in the cantina part of the establishment, and both of them had a beer. Juan came back in with a long-bladed knife and a honing stone. He took very small sips of tequila while he honed the wicked-looking blade. The brothers had a pretty good idea what he intended to do with it. At dusk, Jack and Charlie entered the cantina and ordered a pitcher of beer. Jack threw his hat down on the table in disgust. Juan had honed his knife to razor sharpness and sheathed it. He sat quietly, waiting for the sheriff to speak the words he already knew would come out of his mouth.
They alibied for each other. The hands on both spreads all said the men had not left their side all day.
Blake and Hugo?
They also gave their men alibis, grinning all the time.
Well, that cuts it as far as I'm concerned. Every man jack on those spreads is trash. And that includes the owners. Did you see any of the men Victoria named?
Saw all of them. They was all scratched up around the face. That gal must have fought them. They said they all been brush-popping cattle and got their faces tore up.
Jack stood up, an angry look on his face.
I'm sorry, Juan. I'm truly sorry. I like Victoria. I like you and your wife. You put up with me while I was blundering around acting like a lapdog for Dale, and I apologize for that. Maybe it is time to settle this with guns. I don't know. I don't know if I can keep my own temper in check. And if I don't do something to cool down, I'm gonna blow my top.
The next morning, after checking on Victoria, the brothers found Jack in his office.
We're going to ride out to the Box H.
We'll steer clear of Lightning and Circle V range.
And if you run into any of Blake or Hugo's hands on the way?
We won't draw first.
Hell, boys. Don't neither one of you need to drag iron first. You got more nerve than I have heading out to Pete's place. Tell me if his boy can sit down, will you?
Right.
Matt and Sam paid the Harris Ranch a visit. If Robert could get his aching bones out of bed, he probably couldn't stand up. The father had whipped the snot out of his son. Millie said it was a terrible fight to behold.
Did your mother see it?
Yes. Robert confessed everything. He's really not a very brave person. Daddy's going to take him to the sheriff this afternoon, in a wagon. Hands are filling it with hay now. Robert couldn't sit a saddle. Daddy broke several of his ribs. He's all taped up. That new hand we hired just about 2 months ago was really one of Red Raley's men. He left while Robert was getting his thrashing from Daddy.
Pete Harris walked into the room.
And taking him into town is no good.
Why the hell not?
Because that hand that pulled out went straight to Raley, and Raley went straight to Chrisman and Dale. You'll never get your son into town alive. At least here on the ranch, you have a chance of keeping him that way.
I hadn't thought of that. I've been so damn mad, I'm not thinking straight. You're right.
What we can do is have the sheriff come out here with two townspeople to act as witnesses. We write it all down, and that should be enough.
He then told them about what happened to Victoria.
Good God! And Blake and Hugo backed up their alibis? Oh, sorry. Well, that tears it for me, boys. I got no use for either of them. None of the hands would tell the truth?
Not a one of them.
I better not catch one of them in my gun sights.
No more riding alone, girl. And I mean it.
I understand, Daddy. I won't. And that's a promise.
Sheriff Jack Linwood and Jimmy left early the next morning with two townspeople, heading for the Box H to listen to and take down Robert's confession. Jack had wired the nearest judge to get an opinion on it, and the judge had wired back that once the confession was taken in front of witnesses, it would hold up in a court of law. Of course, the rumors were flying, and Chrisman and Dale had heard them. But they were going about their business as usual. Both looked a little strained around the mouth and the eyes. One rumor had it that Hugo Rayner had walloped the tar out of Denise's rear end and confined her to the house under guard. Blake Vernon had sent his wife, Martha, off to visit relatives back east and was sending out wires to hire more hands, offering them fighting wages. Hugo had done the same.
Who are they going to fight? Each other? Have we missed something here? Once we get Robert's confession, it's over, ain't it? If those two try to fight Lewis Longmont, he'll hire a damn army.
That confession of Robert Harris isn't going to be worth spit. It's just his word against Dale and Chrisman, and both of them are respected, more or less, businessmen. It'll never come to trial. I've toted a badge in too many places not to see that.
But it will cast suspicion and bring a lot of things to light.
What it'll do is start some shooting. And maybe that's what it's gonna take to bust this situation wide open.
Sam walked down to the doctor's office to see about Victoria, and Matt lounged in front of the office. Dewey walked the town while Charlie cleaned the sheriff's department's weapons, loading them all up full. He was too old a hand and too wise to the ways of the world not to know that war was only a step away. Some sheepmen were in town, buying supplies, and a few farmers had rattled up in wagons with their families. The town seemed serene, but Matt had sensed an undercurrent of tension, as if everyone was just waiting for the lid to blow off. and tomorrow was Saturday. Hands from Box H, Circle V, and Lightning, as well as the Spur, the Horseshoe, and several other smaller spreads, were going to be wanting to come into town for tobacco, a few drinks, and cards and conversation. And Matt would bet that the men who had assaulted Victoria would be among them. In a way, he hoped they would come into town. Jack returned, the confession in his pocket. He was not put off by Charlie's sourness that the confession was no good.
It'll make Chrisman and Dale pull in their horns, Charlie.
No, it won't. Not unless Denise Rayner goes along with what Robert said. And I'll bet you she'll deny the whole damn thing.
Matt and Sam saw them together, and doing what comes naturally. And saw them meet with Red Raley. Both of them will testify to that effect.
Charlie leaned back in his chair.
And you know what'll happen if this comes to trial, Jack? That little Denise Rayner gal will come into town with her hair all done up nice, gussied up in a white dress. She'll bat them eyes at the jury, and when she speaks, it'll be pure honey coming out of her mouth. She'll say that she don't know why Matt and Sam is casting them terrible aspersions against her character. And she'll cry a little bit, and that jury will play right into her hands. I've seen it done, Jack, more than once. And Chrisman and Dale, why, they'll deny the whole damn thing. We got no hard proof, Jack. In the end, Robert Harris will be made to look like the damn fool he is. He'll be left way out on a limb, all alone, and them lawyers will tear him to pieces. It'll be his word against dozens of folks. We got nothing, Jack. Nothing at all.
I'm riding for the county seat in the morning, Charlie, to meet with the judge. You're in charge till I get back.
Take the stage. You'll be safer against that damn sniper that way. And take Jimmy with you. Matt and Sam will be around. We'll handle it. I got me an idea on how to shut down Saturday night.
Play it your way, Charlie.
Saturday morning in Dale, Colorado. A bright, sunshine-filled day. Nat and Sam and Dewey had been busy painting huge signs, and the signs were up on both ends of town. All guns must be checked at the sheriff's office. Anyone failing to do this will be fined $50 and spend 3 days in jail. All saloons are closed until further notice. Charlie, Matt, Sam, and Dewey all carried sawed-off double-barrel shotguns. They stood highly visible on the boardwalks of the main street. A group of hands from the Lightning spread were the first into town, coming in at mid-afternoon. A hand called Kid, who fancied himself a real tough gunslick, ripped the sign down and rode up to Charlie. He tossed the sign at Charlie's feet.
I'd like to see you take my guns, you old son of a bitch.
All right.
He lifted the express gun and gave the kid both barrels in the chest. The double charge of buckshot spread him all over the street.
Oh, Jesus God!
Dewey pointed his greener at Clint.
Check your guns at the office and do it right now.
You got it! Man, don't pull them triggers! We'll get us some tobacco and notions and we're gone from here.
Somebody get a shovel and scrape up the mouthy one. Clint? You want to tote him back to the ranch for planting there?
Tote him back how? In a tub?
The hands from the Lightning spread must have ridden straight to the Circle V and warned the hands that to ride into Dale meant trouble. For not one single puncher from either the Lightning or the Circle V came into town the rest of that day. A few hands from the Box H came in, read the sign, and checked their guns without any hesitation. They had a few drinks in the cantina and ate supper, and everybody behaved. The boardwalks were quiet, and the town nearly asleep by 10 o'clock. At midnight, Sam came awake, wide-eyed and worried. He looked around the shack, then threw a boot at Matt.
What?
Matt rolled off the narrow bunk and landed on his belly on the floor.
Grace in motion. That's you.
Matt crawled to his knees.
I'm gonna stomp your...
Get dressed. Something's wrong.
Matt buckled on his gun belt and found his hat.
Why did you wake me up? What's wrong?
I don't know. Get your rifle. Something's wrong.
You just said you didn't know what it was.
I'm an Indian. I know things that you white people don't.
I look more Indian than you.
Then act it. Shut up and sniff the air. Feel the tension.
Dust. Let's go wake up the troops.
They ran hard and hammered on the office door at the jail. Charlie stumbled out, quite a sight to see in his long handles.
What the devil's going on, boys?
Too much dust in the air, Charlie. Nothing's moving out there. Not a cricket, not a bird, not an owl, nothing at all.
Charlie nodded and walked to the cold stove. He drank lukewarm coffee right out of the pot while Sam briefed Dewey. Dressed, Charlie passed out shotguns and the men checked their pistols and rifles.
Dewey, you defend this office. I'm going to be yonder in that alley. Matt, Sam, you boys pick your spots. We ain't got time to wait to town. Good luck, boys.
Luck to you too, Charlie.
Matt ran out the door and jumped off the boardwalk, heading for the alley that led to the cafe cantina. He'd just made it. Masked men, all wearing long dusters, opened fire, shooting out windows. Matt lifted the greener and gave a rider both barrels. The charge lifted the man clear out of the saddle and tossed him to the street. Matt dropped the sawed off and pulled his .44s. Charlie leveled his express gun and gave both barrels to a rider. Dewey took aim with a rifle and emptied a saddle. Sam fired both barrels of his sawed off into a knot of riders all bunched up, and their screaming cut the night like a knife. By this time, the citizens were awake and firing anything they could grab into the shadowy forms of the raiders. The raiders decided that attacking the town had been a really bad idea. They left their dead and wounded behind and galloped out of town.
Do we chase them, Charlie?
No, Dewey. Time we got saddled up, they'd be 3-4 miles ahead of us and all scattered. Let's see what we got on the ground, boys.
Hell, this here's Jigger from the Circle V.
I don't know who this is. He hasn't got a face left on him. Not much skull left, either.
The raiders left 4 dead and 6 wounded behind them, all from either the Lightning or Circle V ranch.
Patch them up the best you can, Doc. Them that can walk is going to jail. 4 counts of attempted murder.
Who did we try to kill?
Matt Bodine, Sam Two Wolves, Dewey Vernon, and me. That's who, you sorry piece of crap.
Oh, hell, we just letting off steam.
Well, I got a dandy place for you to cool off. 3 meals a day and lots of time to relax. Move, boys. You know the way to the jail.
This one just died. When is this madness gonna stop?
It ain't even started yet, Doc. Rayner and Vernon won't sit still for this. They'll be coming in the morning. You'd best stock up on medical supplies and get ready.